It's a deal.
Yeah, thanks. It's on the general too.
Yes, so what is your name before we get started, sir?
It's Christopher Johnson.
Okay.
That's me.
The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir.
All right, Mr. Johnson, can you please state your name and ADC number for the record?
Christopher Ryan Johnson, 273021.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You were appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see you signed your form on October 30th. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And on that form are your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Did you hire a lawyer, or are you representing yourself today?
Representing myself.
All right, good. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. If you look on the video screen there, all the way down the opposite end of the bench from me is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me here is the Honorable Luis Quinones. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chairman for your hearing today. So before, let me introduce, I'm sorry, Mr. O'Leary. We also have with us, there you can see him on the screen now, we have Community Corrections Officer Mr. Oliveri, who will represent the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in this hearing. All right, before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Oliveri in. So Mr. Johnson and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
I do.
Thank you. So, Mr. Johnson, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to read these allegations from your warrant, and as I read each one, I'm going to ask you to tell me if it's true or it's false. If you think it's false, then the board will take testimony from Department of Corrections. And then the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand the process I just explained?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. So we will start phase one of your hearing now. And there are two allegations on your warrant, and they are that you had violated the conditions of supervision and had lapsed or were about to lapse into criminal ways of company by violating condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about June 30th, 2017, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated June 30th, 2017. Mr. Johnson, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you. And then the second allegation is a violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about June 29th, 2017, as directed on June 28th, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, and you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Johnson, is that true or false?
False.
That's false? Okay. All right, if you'll hold 1 second, we'll take some testimony from Mr. Oliveri. Mr. Oliveri.
Allegation number 2, on June 28th of 2017, CCO Isabor spoke to the offender on the phone and verbally directed him to report to Western Regional Parole Office at 801 South 16th Street, Unit Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, on June 29th, 2017. The offender failed to report as directed on or about June 29th of 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up number 2, on July 5th of 2017, CCO Isabor called the offender's home and spoke to sponsor Beverly Manahoffer, to remind the offender of his upcoming scheduled visit on July 6th of 2017. The sponsor responded that the offender doesn't live there and was unwilling to talk about the offender. CCO Issevar proceeded to make a home visit with the offender on July 5th of 2017. The offender was absent. Sponsor was home but will not open the door. CCO Issevar left the violation letter in the offender's mailbox, directing the offender to report to the parole office at 801 South 16th Street, Unit Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, on July 6th of 2017 by 9 a.m. On July 6th of 2017, the offender's mother, Jennifer, called CCO Issevar and claimed that she will bring the offender to the office by that same day. On July 6th of 2017, the offender's mother failed to bring in the offender to the office on July 6th of 2017. On July 6th of 2017, PO verified through the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office County Jail website that the offender was not registered with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. Neither is he in the Maricopa Medical Center.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. So, Mr. Johnson, what's not true about this allegation that you didn't appear at the office on June 29th?
The part that I didn't appear, that's true. But the part where my whereabouts were unknown, I was not in at 970 East Campina Lane the whole time.
Well, the whereabouts were unknown because you didn't appear when you were directed to appear. So that's what that's about. All right. Based on Mr. Johnson's admission and information provided by Mr. Oliveri, specifically on allegation number 2, I move to find Mr. Johnson delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Thank you. Hold on 1 second, Mr. Johnson. I need to mark some things here. All right. Mr. Johnson, we can move to phase 2 of your hearing now to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. Before we move on, we're going to get some background information from Mr. Oliveri. So just hang on the line here and we'll be right back with you. Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Johnson was released from the Department of Corrections on May 26th of 2017. He was arrested on September 30th of 2017. By a DPS on arms condor warrant only, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 93 days of scond. His projected supervision end date will be on March 27th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014. Narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2010, 3 counts. Drug paraphernalia violation, receiving 1 year for each count. And in 2014, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. The offender has 3 terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 3-3, mental health score of a 1, and a substance abuse score of a 3. There is no STG gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2013, TIS release, 4 months. And in 2015, TIS release, absconder, 107 days, arrested on current offense and reached a CSED while in jail. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history. Other arrest, 2005, resisting arrest, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, narcotic drug violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2009, domestic violence, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. And in 2013, DUI, liquors, drugs, vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. His community risk score is a G7, B7.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. So, Mr. Johnson, it looks like you were approved to live at the address you mentioned earlier, 970 East Campina Lane, Litchfield Park, Arizona. And you said you stayed there the whole time?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And were you working? Did you have a job?
I go to school at Steel Mountain Community College.
Okay. What are you studying?
General education.
Just a general, okay. And it looks like you were referred to task, and with your color was called, it looks like you submitted a specimen, but it tested positive for methamphetamines. Were you using methamphetamines the whole time that you were out?
No, I had a short relapse and got back. Yeah, I need to get back into the drug classes is what I need.
Okay, so this instance was a short relapse. Did you use meth more than once?
No, it was just a one-time thing.
Just the one time, okay. And it looks like you were in some drug treatment, the CAP MRT screening, and you attended three of those, and then you missed two groups. Why did you miss those two?
That's when I had failed to report.
Okay, all right. But you liked the group. It sounds like the group was helping you.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay. And looking at your background that we got from Mr. Oliveri, it looks like you have a great many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at least 8 arrests and convictions for drug-related. What drugs do you use, Mr. Johnson?
I usually use heroin and meth.
So heroin and meth. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, so you have a marijuana conviction back in 05.
Oh, yeah, marijuana also.
Okay, all right. Okay. And when's the last time you used heroin?
2015 or 2016.
Okay. And we know meth. We know when that was. When's the last time you used marijuana?
2016-ish.
Okay, 16. All right. So when you were arrested by DPS, what were you doing? What brought you to their attention?
There was a crash windshield.
Oh, well, you were driving and you had a cracked windshield.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. And I mean, the other kind of obvious question for me is you were missing for 93 days. Your parole officer didn't know where you were. Did you think to call your parole officer?
Yeah, I was going to call them, but there was a family crisis. I took care of my grandparents.
Uh-huh.
And my grandma was ill. And I was getting ready to call right before I got pulled over.
Okay. But other than that, what were you doing for those 93 days? Just going to school?
Going to school and helping my grandparents.
Okay. All right. Mr. Johnson, I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Johnson? No? All right, well, Mr. Johnson, we're coming to the end of your hearing. Just want to give you an opportunity, if you'd like, to tell the board anything else you'd like us to know without repeating yourself. Something you've already told us. What else would you like the board to know?
But I don't need this. I just, anything else, counseling, groups, therapy.
Okay. All right, Mr. Johnson, the board is going to go into discussion and make a determination. We don't discuss cases before we get in this room, so we haven't talked about your case before right now. So it may sound like the board is talking to you or somebody in the room here, but it's the board talking among itself. So if you can just stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Okay, Mr. Johnson?
Okay.
All right. So the board is now in discussion. Mr. Johnson is an individual who absconded for 93 days, didn't move from where he was living. He just kind of failed to contact his parole officer. And that was kind of out of fear that he would be revoked and or returned to prison, and that's precisely where he is. He has a term of prior supervision in 2015 in which he absconded for 107 days. He has a long history of a lot of drug-related offenses and seems to certainly be willing to do groups or some kind of therapy, and on the surface it looks like that's something that he could really benefit from, as he has used heroin as recently as 2016, marijuana as recently as 2016, and meth in June of this year for the task reports. I'm not seeing Mr. Johnson as a good candidate for continued community supervision, but I'd be willing to listen to any discussion from my colleagues.
I agree with you.
Then I'm going to make a motion that, based on information in warrant 2017W2354, our conversation with Mr. Johnson and information provided by Mr. Oliveira of the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Johnson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal race or company, specifically by using methamphetamines while on supervision and absconding for 93 days, during which we had no idea what he was doing. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
All right, Mr. Johnson, you heard our discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You'll be released from the department on or about March 27th of this coming year. I know you're interested in doing treatment, and I hope you keep an open mind about that, because it sounds like that's certainly something you can benefit from. March is only a few months away. We hope that you'll work with your CO3 so that when you do get out, you've got a pretty solid plan. It sounds like you've got a place to go back. You could go back to living there in Litchfield Park and back to school. And we wish you the very best with that, and also with addressing your problems with drugs. Thank you so much for participating today. We appreciate that. And if you would, please give the phone back to your the CO3. So your hearing is concluded, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.